Yeah. All right. This morning is Sunday, August 6, 2023. And we're going to look at August 6th, 2023. No, it's the 6th. Yeah. This is the Prophet's Corner and Cut. It's going to probably be the longest one that I've ever done, but then the Lord's added some more to it. But that's going to be at the end. So anyway, this is called the State of the Union. All right, Paul gave a warning to the church of the last days, how the church age would end. And we're going to look at that. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be reading this whole chapter, then I'm going to break it down. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Are you noticing anything like that? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I'm a good minister of Jesus Christ because I remind you all of this on a pretty consistent basis. But he said, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Do you know any other ministers are even saying these things? Nourished up in the words of faith, of good doctrine. See, this is what it's all about. Good doctrine. Whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We have a fully infiltrated world of just this, profane and old wise fables. But exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Doesn't say you can't do it. But a lot of people, they spend every waking moment working out and dieting to attain something that you can only do spiritually. He's saying these others, it's not that they won't. I mean, you can exercise for 30 years and quit doing it for a few years and you're flab. We're talking about temporal over eternal. But godliness is profitable unto all things. I had to make the decision that I'd rather spend 30 minutes praying in the Spirit than 30 minutes doing a workout. Which would be more profitable? Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. He told Timothy, command and teach these things. I think Timothy, being young, was having a problem with some of these older cats thinking they knew it all. Coming against stuff. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What doctrine? The one that God gave to Paul. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. In other words, he said, Don't let them despise you because you're young. Just do what you have been called, set apart, hands laid on you to do. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. You could say, in the natural sense, in the Old Testament, when Joseph was raised up, went through hell, and went into Potiphar's house and went into the prison, then he was raised from the prison to the palace. It was so those sorry, lame-brained brothers of his would be saved. His whole house would be saved. The whole nation of Israel would be saved because this is what he's talking about spiritually, sound doctrine. Going through hardness to make sure that this is not stolen away from us. The whole world's running after these old wives' tales and fables, myths and legends. And they've nearly totally let go of the Word of God. All right, verse 1, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This alien mess is a doctrine of a devil. I don't care how they spin it. If you read Enoch, he talks about these angels giving them all kinds of extra knowledge. All right, this has caused a departing from the faith. All right here. Depart means to remove, actively instigate, to revolt, to desist, to desert, fall away, or withdraw. We're living in a time where Christians are going to have to make a stand. Because this truth is marching on. The battle hymn of the Republic. It is what? A battle hymn. This is a battle for the Word of God. Satan's tried to eradicate his truth, God's truth, throughout the whole earth as we stand here right now. All right. Doctrines of devils are doctrines taught by demons. Don't make any bones about it. All right, this is my thought. The off-world benevolent beings, perhaps, that we're talking about here. You know, the ones with that extra knowledge, you know, extraterrestrials, extra land, extra anything that discredits God. Anything that will entice you like Eve was enticed, hath God said. I'm wired today. I've been up all night and I prayed all night. So I'm wired. The Lord had a purpose in it. We're going to see the purpose of all of this in the end. All right, let me keep going here. Here's what it said in my Bible concordance here. I thought it was good. Depart means to apostatize. Apostasy is the deliberate and permanent rejection of Christianity after a previous profession of faith in it. It's not talking about sinners. This is the church. All right. Doctrines of devils are doctrines taught by demons. Yeah. Verse 2 right here. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They're speaking lies in hypocrisy. Here's hypocrisy, appearance of virtue and religion. We know God has nothing to do with religion. One of the three city states is the religious state, the Vatican. All right, verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. These are doctrines of demons. All right. And some other things here. Don't have to get married, just live together. Food lists, clean and unclean, and physical extremes. These are all things that cause the flesh to take the lead and take the control. The believer is driven by the extremes of the flesh and has gotten out totally of the spirit. Here's the counter to the doctrines of demons right here, Galatians chapter 5. 16 verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So all these things that you hear, all these added things that are outside of the Word of God, that's getting in the flesh. Now I realize we're going to have a church full of these kind of people that we're going to have to lead them out. Just like they were led out of Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. We had the flesh pots. Like Keith Moore, we had pickles. He said, God, I give you a pickle factory. What, you know, lusting after the flesh. Just like the golden calf. They weren't wanting God. I see our nation so much in that, and I still hear people every day that I get on and listen to something wanting that gold. Man, I want my gold! And I want every one of them lined up, and I want to see them all executed. What have we turned into? This is about getting the lost saved. This is about recovering those that have lost their mind. They need to be back seated at the feet of Jesus. This is the focus, not give me my gold. The Great Commission is always first and foremost. You take care of his business, you won't need no Sarah. It's in fact a Nasara's independent of that, whether you believe it or not. The quantum voting is off of AI. All right, let's keep going. 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These Christians think they're going to live like hell and they're going to be ushered right in. I think this is otherwise. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, not given in to the flesh, and done everything their flesh wants to do, and say, well, God loves me. Quit judging me. With the affections and lust, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. How did the church get into this position? Well, we quit laying down doctrine. I'm telling you, reinforcing the doctrine. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. See, God gives his prophets the message. They have the mind of God, and they are given what God wants. And this is what this sound doctrine is all about. What do the apostles do? They build, they exhort the spiritual house to keep these doctrines in line, just like he was telling Timothy. Don't let them push you around because you're young. You stay strong on these doctrines, and you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I don't care if you have two people. God's not about numbers. He wants everyone to be saved, yes. But these big, massive institutions that have their pretty little thing on Sunday morning and they just have, you know, God will say, who are you? Well, Lord, we did this in your name and that in your name. And he's going to say, I don't know you. Doesn't know you or know him, follow him. If he says, go have church and there's only two and do it till I tell you to stop or whatever it is he tells you to do. I don't care how little it is, because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, and that's where faithfulness is proved, in the little things. Not the big things. Anybody can do some big thing. But it takes true character to be built in someone to follow God and not get off track like we're talking about this morning. You know people. We all know people that are in this situation. They don't even know what the heck is going on. I heard somebody yesterday talking about, if you don't believe this and you just get off of my channel, you know, the rapture, it isn't the tribulation time. The Antichrist hadn't showed up, and this is the way it's going to be, and that's just the way it is. And if you don't like it, I don't want you on this. And I thought, okay. People don't want to hear sound doctrine. They want to keep their religious dogmas. All right, let's keep going here. They let go of the Word of God. This is 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Boy, it sounds like the day, doesn't it? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, we've already talked about this in a prior teaching, myths and legends. They will choose to just stick with their dogmas and they quit moving with the Spirit. The kingdom of heaven is advancing forward, and the violent take it by force. It doesn't stop and build a tabernacle. Maybe at one time there was a revelation there, but if you stay there and you never move on, that's one thing that I get kind of sideways about the word of faith. Word of faith is like learning multiplication and addition and subtraction. It is a basic doctrine that we will never let go of, but that we move forward. All right, there's so much more. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's one of the first doctrines that you get established and grounded in. Then you begin to move forward and use it. All right. Never let go of the word. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what Paul said. He stood in the place where, I know there's times he thought he was going to die, but he didn't back down. And he did die eventually for his faith. All right, go back to 1:7. Chapter 4, verse 7. I'm in 2, excuse me. Hold on. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Right here. These false doctrine are called myths, are described as profane because they promote ungodliness and fabricated their lies because they are modern day soap operas that cause people to be silly and flighty in character. If you've ever watched a soap opera, you know how ridiculous it is. Well, that's kind of what we're watching right now with all this stupid court thing. It's all a soap opera. These people, these deep state people, they are so scared. They know their jig is up. and they're fixing to pay the piper. Just by what they pulled this week or what they had to do. You know, and I heard this and I believe it's true, they don't want to indict Trump. They don't want anything to do with Trump. They're forcing them to do this and make a mockery of themselves in front of everybody. View it the right way, and you can pray the right way, but if you believe something else, you'll pray wrong. We need to have a reality of what's really going on here. All right. In my opinion, it appears that people would rather believe myths than get in God's Word and see for themselves the truth. All right. To stay on track, we must do these things. Be diligent in prayer. Study the Bible. Hang with other believers. Obey God's will for you. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. All right, verse 8 over here. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. What is to come? This is just ahead for us. All right, the Bible Concordance said this about physical exercise is limited in value. But godliness, spiritual exercise, has unlimited value because it is eternal. Exercise yourself spiritually, in other words. Don't spend so much time and effort on what is temporal. This is 2 Corinthians 4:18 talking about the temporal. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Really, the eternal is more real than the temporal. Temporal here is for the occasion only, temporary, for a while, endures for a time, or for a season. All right, verse 11, back to 1 Timothy 4. Paul told Timothy, these things command and teach. Command. It is evident that Timothy is young, so Paul is exhorting him to stand strong and not back down, for he has been called by God for this position as an apostle. He tells Timothy to stay in the word and sound doctrine and to keep himself and those he instructs sound in doctrine also. So that's the commission that I have. That is what I bring to you. What God has spoken to me, I'm bringing it to you. And then you can pass it on. Yeah? All right, verses 14 through 16 here. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. I want to stand before the Lord and Him say, well done. You were able to preserve those in this time because of what you said. What I gave you to say, you said. Don't matter how many listens to. The point is, it's being listened to. All right, can you see today the seduction that is going on to pull believers away from sound doctrine? These that have been drawn away seem to have a lot of knowledge, but it isn't God's knowledge. Paul's statement before his execution stated this. This is 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, they just added two. Now you can't eat nothing or drink nothing or go nowhere or say nothing or... Is that prison? That's a slave master is what it is. All right, we're going to read a few more scriptures. Colossians chapter 2. I mean, every time you get online, you see another something that's poisoned, or another something that you shouldn't be doing, and another something that you should be doing. Oh, no, thank you. I'll just do what God says. Let's just do what God says. All right, Colossians 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The world is running after everybody that steps up to has a new thing. But it's all in Him. All is in Him. If you don't know about something, then ask Him. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. See, AG, Assembly of God, they're steeped in the rapture, steeped in it. Yeah. In vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. They don't realize it didn't even come on the scene till the 1800s. After some little girl was sick and out of her mind had a so-called vision. And they grabbed it and ran with it. Talk about hopium. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in Him which is ahead of all principality and power, in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye also you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. So to go contrary to that, what are you doing? You're being seduced. And you've been dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and nailed it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. I am so thankful, even though it's been so painful, that God pulled me aside and began to teach me and show me the truth. And said all the garbage that I listened to all these years, some was good, some most was not. Because you as an individual, you are His temple. And so He's showing you what to do. He's showing you who you are. You don't need somebody to get up and tell you what you accept outside. I'm talking about outside the Word of God. Tell you what you need to do. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So inside of you is everything that you will need, ever need. God will show you. You just ask Him. He's the orchestrator of your life. Men say good things, but you still, whatever is said, you need to say, okay, Lord, what do you say about what they said for me? That's what being led by the Spirit is. Instead of being led by leaders in the pulpit that sometimes know what they're saying or what they're doing and sometimes they don't. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, which was, and took it out of the way, and added it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are shadow things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels and treating into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. I heard somebody the other day talking about the bee angel. And I'm going, what? The bee angel. I'm going, the bee angel? I'm telling you, there's weirdness out there. And not holding the head from whom, which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. This is a spiritual house, not a fleshly house. Doesn't mean we don't meet in a physical building, but we are a spiritual house. That's what an apostle does, building up apostles and prophets, building up a spiritual house, not glorifying the flesh, not building big cathedrals and going through all kinds of rules and regulations and rituals and silly little things that is just dead works. All right, keep going. 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And this is 2 Peter 2. Yeah, okay. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Duh! Does that sound familiar? The truth is evil spoken of. Oh, you know, we're not, you know, they lied to us about everything, which I think is a lie too. They have not lied to us about everything. But the point is, they'll think the word is evil spoken of. That's what they'll say. That's what they're saying today. The truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they wield, or they, excuse me, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. It says Jesus is coming in that time, as in the days of Noah. They totally let go of God's word. Totally let go of God. Listen to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Go read Enoch. It lines them all up. Every industry that we can think of, probably all seven mountain mandates, all the industries included in that and all the things included in that, this is what these demonic fallen angels taught. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Aren't you vexed with their conversation? Even the Christians. They are filthy mouthed. They are so filthy mouthed. You can't really listen to them. And I'm not just talking about the D word. I'm talking about the F word. And for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they. Who, government, we're talking God's government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not ready an accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of their unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. Now this man, he was operating by the Spirit of God one minute and a familiar spirit by the next minute. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are their servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The Lord has talked to us about praying for these people, that the Lord would give them another chance to come to Him and correct their ways. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. As a Christian, you cannot listen to tarot card readers, psychics, fortune tellers, remote viewers, etc., that it somewhere down the line will not start to compromise you. That's what happened to them. They were seduced. All right, go over to Galatians 5 again. Verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. See, there's those in the church that would infiltrate and try to bring us that back under the law. See, it's not changed since the time Jesus was here. They're still doing it. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. What's circumcision? Flesh. Uncircumcision by faith. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. For these Christians to say these things, it is obvious they have been seduced along the way. The UFO agenda has been made up to disguise these entities. They are liars. Their father is the devil. Never forget that, who you are really dealing with. If these Christians are seeing these entities, then they have crossed over into their dimension. See, they're interdimensionals. That's what the Lord said to me. Interdimensional. Lord, yeah. They travel through portals from the spirit realm to the natural realm. The very fact that the first contact was the head of the church of Satan should give us all a clue. Just like in the garden, Satan talked Eve out of what God had said. Brought in this, well, have God said, you know, well, he left some stuff out. Let me fill you in. Is that what's happening? Yeah. Today we hear this over and over. Well, you know, they've lied to us about everything, and they've messed with the Bible, so how can you trust it? The latest thing they're pushing is that there is no such letter as J until the 15th century. They're trying to discredit Jesus. I've heard that on several places. You know what that means, the devil's last attempt to get people away from following our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is deadly. Paul told Timothy, even though you're young, stand strong and don't let them push you around. Stand strong and you will save yourself and those that listen to you. This week, the Lord took me down memory lane and made me recall how many have rejected this message. Except for a few, most have not fared well. It hasn't been from lack of trying. Pride has caused so many to not humble themselves and receive the word of the Lord that would have saved them. It makes me want to cry, but it is what it is. You have the word of truth, but people think, well, they have been steeped in religious dogmas. They believe it a certain way, and they're not about to let go of their doctrines of men. After saying all this, the Holy Spirit is saying this about where we are in our nation. This is the Lord here. The church has been so compromised that you can no longer tell the difference between the corporate world and the church world. But make no mistake, God has called out and sealed his remnant. All right, Revelation chapter 14. First five verses there. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great number. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. They have not been tainted. Their DNA has not been altered. Oh, but it ain't the time for the end yet. Antichrist didn't come yet. You know what they gauge everything on that? Well, ain't a temple over there built yet. Ain't gonna be. Ain't gonna be. If you look into that, you're gonna be sitting on that suitcase for eternity. Sickening. All right, keep going. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. If you think they haven't been touched, think again. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. You know, you think about it being a mark in the hand or the forehead. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be an implant. It can just be the brainwashing, total subjection to the dark side. Luke. Star Wars is nothing but a projection of what's going on now. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hands a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He has trampled down the victors. Listen to what I'm saying here. I'm not just reading words. Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he sat on the cloud, thrusting his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. He's trampling down the vineyard where the grapes of wrath are stored. And the angel thrust in the sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Right now, I told you, the deep state, they are scared out of their minds. They're saying, please don't make us indict you again. He wants another one. Some say it'll be Georgia. I want you to think about that. This is where we're sitting. This is all coming down. All right. Let's keep going here. This is the Battle of Armageddon, and this is where we are, in my opinion. But keep being brought to this point repeatedly when I'm reading and studying. Or it keeps bringing back to this point right here. The Holy Spirit continues here. Seducing spirits is how secret space programs were created. Only by lies could this spoof be pulled off. Satan himself appears as an angel of light, saying that they are there to help and to heal and to make everything better. You know the benevolence? We're hovering above in our craft with our med beds, ready to take you up at any moment. Everything they say and do goes against God's word. Never forget, no matter how benevolent they seem, they have one agenda: steal, kill, destroy. And if not stopped, they will carry it out. They will do it by seducing. Just a little compromise here, a little compromise there, a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. All right, Mark 4:15. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. There's something that I have begun to speak. First, they will not get to do any of their plans, like Blue Beam. Stick with God's word. Just as there was a remnant in Noah's day, there's a remnant reserved for this day. All right, Revelation chapter 2. Verse 18. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. There's your Baal and Moloch worship. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I'd say the battle of Armageddon is great tribulation, wouldn't you? Now, there'd be some AG, Assembly of God, that might be saying, oh, no, it ain't time. I'm thinking, it doesn't get any nastier than this. Transgender is about as nasty as you can get. Eating children and drinking their blood is about as nasty as you can get. Grinding up their bones and putting it in all our food, that's about as nasty as you can get. Giving us clot shots, death shots, that's about as nasty as you can get. Behold, I will cast her into a bed of and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. If they think that Jesus is just going to show up and say, well, come on in, honeys, come on in, he's going to say, he's going to have fire in his eyes. What did you do with what I told you to do? When he was talking to John, he said he was like fire, feet like burnished brass. His voice was like ocean waters. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, I'll give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right, Matthew 24. I told you it was a long one. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Is it that way today? So many are still so asleep. It's like they're clueless. You talk to them and they think, they don't have a clue. I'm thinking, how can they not know? Because all they watch, well, now we know the MSM has been taken over. So I'm going, wow. All right, and then shall two be in the field. The one should be taken, the other left. Two women should be grinding at the mill. The one should be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Say, you don't want to be taken. No wonder it's such a big doctrine in the church, the rapture. It's Antichrist. No, you want to be left. Therefore, be also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Doing, not sitting on a suitcase. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler of all his goods. If that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and eat and drink with the drunk, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This doesn't even sound like sinners. It sounds like people that once acknowledged him. Just as Noah and seven souls were preserved, God is doing the same thing today, the same things that Noah dealt with, we are dealing with. God is going to handle it the same way he did then. No flood, but a cleanup operation. It's a flood, all right, it's just a different kind. The Holy Spirit continues here. You are at the Esther moment. It is time for Haman to be hung on the gallows. Many top leaders have been dealt with already, but now the aftermath of his decrees against my people now comes into play. This is your Purim moment. The Jews stood armed against the decrees written for their destruction. They were allowed to arm themselves and stand up. This is where my army is now, standing. This is the state of the nation. Like I've said before, there is a line being drawn in the sand. Who's for the Lord? Come over here. Who isn't? Come over here. Esther chapter 9. We're going to look just for a minute at what Purim is. Because after the Medes and Persians made a decree, it could not be altered, could not be changed. By the way, did y'all know that Esther's son was Darius? Okay. All right, Esther, where are you? She's run away. This is chapter 9. All right, now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment, his decree, drew near to be put in execution in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king of Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And I can't say these names. I'm not going to say those names. The 10 sons of Haman, of Hadamathoth, the enemy of the Jews, slew them. But on the spoil laid they not their hand. In other words, they got all the goodies. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan, the palace, was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther, the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the palace, and the ten sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. Or what is thy request further? And it shall be done. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according to this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. Not just the one bunch, not just Haman, but all his seed. And the king commanded it so to be done, and the decree was given to Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also the month of Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan. But on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000. But they laid not their hands on the prey. On the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 4th day of the same rested they and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled cities made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting and a good day of sending portions one to another. Sounds like Christmas. Have you heard that? They're talking about there'll be a new Christmas. No, it was a new Independence Day. It'll be the day that all this is over, that the whole world will celebrate it, not just July 4th. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the kingdom, or of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them. Do y'all realize what was so bad about Saul's sin against the Lord? Haman was his heir. He let Agag live. They destroyed them and cast pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters and his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, would return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they have been concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed, upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Who are the Jews now? Church. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote with all authority to confirm this letter of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdoms of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim and their times appointed according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matter of the fastings in their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. The Lord says we are in this time. All right. I want to speak a minute about artificial intelligence. We're going to look at artificial intelligence just for a moment. Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to keep it in light with everything I've said so far. I know it's been a lot. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden, trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What did he do? He seduced her. This is artificial intelligence. For us to move forward in this nation, we must realize that artificial intelligence is Satan. It is a counter-narrative to keep us from God's order in the earth. To move forward, Satan must be permanently removed from the earth. His destination is the pit. I would like to share with you, and I already read this to Danny, it was a TikTok video, and the lady's name is, I want to give her the credit here. I think I wrote it down. Anyway, the IMDb is a list of producers, actors, screenplay writers, etc., everyone in the industry. To be considered to be an actor, to be on this list and be legitimate, you have to have had credits roll. On this list are some key players that you might recognize. Q told us that we were watching a movie. Tim Ballard is a producer actor. Carrie Lake is a producer. Mike Pompeo is a filmmaker. Mnuchin is a producer. Kayleigh McEnany is a writer-producer. Clintons are both producers and actors. General Flynn is an actor. Bidens, both the Bidens are actors and producers. Melania and Ivanka are actors. Schumer is an actor. Pelosi is an actress. Malia Obama is a writer. DeSanctimonious is an actor. Most all in government is on this page. President Trump is often saying central casting in his speeches. Appears that we really are watching a movie. The one that did this TikTok video continues here. You must separate what is real from this movie or you will continue to be confused. All the research we've done has only been found because they wanted us to find it. There are no leaks and it has been on purpose. It is the Matrix. All right, if they have lied about everything, then how are we to know what the truth is? Jesus said that we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. Now do you understand why they want to discredit the Bible? I will say again what the Lord showed me in 2016 and again in 2020. 2016, while praying, I saw a vision of Donald Trump and I knew that it meant that he was the chosen one because there was like 17 or 18 running at that time. March 2020, that the COVID would be used as an undercover operation by the military to clean out the underground dumps, rescue the children, take out the low-hanging fruit of the deep state, and take over the Federal Reserve, our slave masters. It appears this is still the operation that's still being carried out. It is just more in the open now. It is in the open for our financial, it is very quite openly in the financial system that, you know, there's banks failing everywhere. The cabal system that is, and a new one's being implemented. In fact, some say, well, it's been running side by side for quite a while now. So they're slowly dripping it out, drip at a time, taking it over. All right, I believe that we're seeing the end of the church age here and the beginning of the kingdom age, the thousand-year millennial reign. The Word of God clearly lays it out. Revelation means disclosure, and it is evident that we're in soft disclosure right now. No matter what people are saying, I believe the Lord has disclosed enough to us for us to know the truth. Just as God saved the Jewish nation under Esther's reign, He is saving us. This is our Purim moment. Not only are the original deep state bloodline families being eradicated, but all their seed are also. Esther had to make her stand, and so do we. Whatever God says to you, do it. The time of rebuilding is ahead of us. Nehemiah had to make his stand in his rebuilding process, and so will we have to. Esther and Nehemiah had their time of weariness and mourning, but there was an end. There is an end for us also. It is our time in history. We look in God's Word and admire all the heroes and heroines in the Faith Hall of Fame, but all of them had to make their stand. The time for our standing moment has arrived. Now, what has the Lord been saying to us about mapping, about taking out strongholds and doing things? Keep that in mind. All right, Hebrews 11. Thirty-two. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So it's our day. It's our time in the Faith Hall of Fame. All right, Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All right, weary means here to be weak or to fail in heart. A few more and we'll be done. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. All right, 2 Corinthians 7. Having therefore these promises, verse 1, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were wars. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice. Not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what cleaning of yourself, or clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did not for this cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. See, he's talking about the man that was taken in adultery, and he judged it, and judged it very harshly. And why did he do it? Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you. For I have boasted. If I have boasted anything to him of you, I'm not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice therefore that I've kept confidence in you in all things. See, staying in the right place, doing what's right when it's a hard thing. All right, one more. Revelation 18. Then I have a little bonus. Okay, chapter verse 4 through 8 here. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Now we know this operation is supposed to go on worldwide in one day. And mourning. In one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. All right. The Lord gave me this morning. If you've noticed, well, they preempted my program today. Here I am asking, Lord, you know, it's your problem. If you want it to suck, fine. I don't care. It's just that's my stand. I said, I don't care. I'm tired of dealing with these people. But I'm in there getting ready. While I was watching, I had it on where they were playing the sports. And this woman was flashed on the screen. And the Lord began to speak to me. Twisted Sister Megan Rapinoe. She is a soccer player for the U.S., disgraced the U.S. at the Olympics by not honoring our flag. She's a beauty. That's what President Trump, well, she's a real beauty. That's what he'd say, and that's what I say. All right. This morning, Faith Avenue was preempted. If it hadn't have been preempted, I wouldn't have seen her face. All right? What the Lord said to me was, she has influenced many for evil. I said, well, Lord, give her another chance. And I said, Lord, I hope she's got padded underwear on because I want you to knock her off her high horse. Knock her off her high horse. Not just her, but all these major sports operations. Knock those demon-filled people off of their high horses. And I decree for this little Megan Rapinoe. From now on, everywhere you see her with that pink hair, she will be wrapped in flags of the United States, and she will have a big Bible, the biggest Bible you've ever seen in your life, in her arms. That's what's going to be. That's what I decree. Sports is coming down. And these people that have influenced all these kids and everything for wrong, God's going to turn that around. They're going to have their Saul moment. Said, listen, this is your day of reckoning. You're either going to get in line or you're not going to breathe another day. So you be in agreement with me about that, because that is what I believe, the purpose of me seeing that. Let me see if there's anything else. Oh, they will do more for the kingdom of God than they ever did for the kingdom of the devil. That's part of that decree. All right?